Welcome into a daily editorial here on the KE Report. I am chatting with Ed Moya. He is the senior market analyst over at Oanda. And Ed, we're going to start off, we're going to actually talk about kind of the main themes that continue to dominate these markets. That is trade and the Fed. However, to start off, let's talk about what's going on with another tweet that Trump sent out threatening almost China with more tariffs if President Xi does not show up to the G20 meetings. The interesting thing here is that the markets are largely ignoring this threat, maybe because it is so dedicated on him actually attending the G20, and I think everybody thinks that he will attend the G20. But do you think we could be getting to a point in time where finally the market largely ignores tweets from President Trump, more waiting for, let's say, actual tariffs to be implemented rather than that little back and forth that happened over the last 2 weeks between Mexico that resulted in nothing?
I think you're exactly right there. And the Twitter account of the president is always active. It seems that in the last few months, he's really gone on overdrive on his tweets. And right now, anything on trade, for the next couple of weeks is probably going to be just glanced over because we're not going to have that G20 meeting, any early commitments on positioning their stances. The Chinese are very methodical. The foreign ministry is not going to give you any inkling on what they're going to do, any updates on their positions on how they're going to de-escalate this trade war. So we're not going to get anything meaningful from China. That's most likely. The president, though, is going to want to maintain his rhetoric and appease his base and just being on the offensive. I don't think anyone really took him serious as far as, the extra tariffs could come in and it could be much higher than 25%. On the $300 billion of Chinese goods. I think the market is firmly believing that Xi and Trump are both motivated to meet. There is nothing that has transpired that would warrant Xi to not attend. Possibly people are making the argument that he, just to save face and to show China's dominance stand on the global stage. But I really think she wants to move forward with this. And his agenda is plentiful. And I think this is just a headwind that he wants to move away from as there's other domestic concerns that he'll probably want to focus on.
Okay, now in terms of the markets, as I said, we're seeing the markets, I'd say, largely ignore this and grind higher. But you look at the S&P, the S&P is only about, let's say, 60, 65 points away from these all-time highs. It was a very quick recovery last week from about four down weeks in a row for U.S. equity markets. Do you see the markets needing some sort of a trade deal to get to new all-time highs, or do you think just enough optimism around trade and talks for trade that it could, again, peak its head into all-time highs?
I think you're going to need a combination of factors to get us to those record highs. And if we do see a Band-Aid solution where there's a reduction in tariffs, if there is a meaningful progress that the U.S. and China are moving forward, or if they have some type of framework agreement. And when you combine that with the Federal Reserve, who is more likely to deliver a rate cut, and that's mainly because of muted inflation, not because of the labor market is still strong. Their credit conditions are still well, but they need to address their policy mistake from the end of last year. There's ample reasons to deliver a rate cut to provide a softer landing for the economy. And when you combine trade optimism and the likelihood that the Fed will capitulate and deliver rate cuts, that is going to most likely be a good story to provide us with fresh record highs, or at least an attempt towards those levels in the next several months.
So again, everybody is continuing to wait and anticipate what the Fed is going to do in just over a week now. But still, it seems like all the expectations, rate cut expectations, are on the Fed for July. Today, we even saw the U.S. PPI numbers come in pretty much right in line with estimates, 2.3%. This is something like the 22nd month in a row that we are seeing a two-handle on PPI out of the U.S. And it's not screaming higher, but it is showing that inflation is kind of sticky, but it's sticky right around the Fed's target. So this doesn't seem like a data point that's going to be forcing the Fed's hand, at least to me. What do you think?
I think, and when we take a look at inflation, there's so many measures. When you focus on the Fed's preferred core PCE measure, that has been below the target. It's been the April reading just about 0.4 of a percentage point away from the 2% level. But there's just too much. For where we are in the economic cycle, you would expect there to be a lot more inflation. You would expect with the rate hikes that we saw, and that's not the case. And longer term outlooks for inflation over the next couple years or 5 years, it's going nowhere. We're kind of in a deflationary global environment, and I believe that the risks that we're currently seeing with the strong move in bond yields, we've inverted that 10-month and 3-month and 10-year curve, and that's really putting a strain on bank lending too. So I think what we're going to notice is the rate cut is actually going to help rectify that. And until we see the Fed be more clearer in their message, and that could happen at the June meeting, that they pretty much tee up the July cut. I think that will alleviate many analysts who are still skeptical that the Fed will actually go ahead and act.
Okay. Yeah, well, again, we're just waiting for what the Fed has to say and what they're going to do in a week, but I really don't think that they are going to be forced into any sort of a rate cut that quickly. But again, everyone waiting for July. Overall here, Ed, what do you see in the markets? Is there any clear-cut path in terms of where investors can put their money and ride a trend? It just seems so much right now that we are trading in ranges and news dominates these headlines or dominates these markets, and it's hard to predict what's going to come out of the president's Twitter account or even what's going to come out of, let's say, China.
Yeah, very, very much so. And I think what we've seen is the volatility, the VIX has been still fairly low when you consider all the headlines we've covered. You've seen utility stocks really outperform throughout the peak part of the trade war, as utility players don't have much exposure to China or international relations. When we take a look at the stocks that were hardest hit, it was technology, industrials, and a lot of that had to do with some of the key arguments on the trade front with intellectual property theft. You had the Huawei situation, and then also on the industrial side, you had the issues with the Boeing planes, and I think as we take a look at which stocks were hammered, which sectors were hammered, the ones that were under the most pain were the tech sector, industrials, and financials have not done too well. Once we have more trade progress, you could see those three actually start to outperform. And even in a rate cutting environment, the financials historically, and when we take a look at what happened in the mid 90s when the Fed had to kind of reverse course and deliver a couple of rate cuts, you saw financials perform well. And that a lot of that was attributed to the fixing of the inverted curve that we saw that drives bank lending. And what we're also going to notice is that the overall tech tech sector rebound could probably be the main catalyst for the move higher with the NASDAQ and also just the broader markets. And I think that there's still good economic growth in the U.S. And when you look towards the other advanced economies, everyone's kind of waiting on this trade war. And I think that you could see Asia and the U.S. lead the way higher, and then eventually Europe will catch on. But right now, it's kind of everyone is on hold for this trade war, and this is the big one. Mexico was a small blip, but it did provide optimism that the president can President Trump can move forward and deliver a deal.
Yeah, I know. Everybody is still waiting for some sort of a trade deal, and there is optimism out there, but you know what? I have to say, I'm still pretty skeptical simply because we haven't seen any trade deals actually get signed, and this recent turmoil between Mexico and the U.S. now is throwing that whole Canada, Mexico, and U.S. trade deal up in the air. It's just a tough news-driven market right now, but there clearly is still money that is being at least slowly put into U.S. equities, even though the yield curve inverted on a number of different time frames, and there is this general slowdown around the world, but who knows, so much still money available in the system landing in U.S. markets. Hey, Ed, great having you on the show. Everyone, click that link below. Go visit the OANDA website and follow along with what Ed is writing on a daily basis. Ed, thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.